All right, I'm glad you are here. This lecture is going to be interesting one. I hope you're ready for a journey across biblical Old Testament kind of stuff. I'm the Old Testament guy, so you're going to get a lot of Old Testament stuff tonight. One of my goals in this lecture is to help convince you in one sense of what Pastor Vyers has talked about in the Will of God. This is not the same lecture as that, but how many of you are track one? Any track oneers here? So a lot of you. You just had the Will of God lecture, right? So you want more of the Will of God kinds of stuff. But it's kind of interesting. We have passages like 2 Timothy 3:16 that all Scripture is inspired and sufficient for these things, like teaching and reproof. And then you have some of these kind of interesting passages like 1 Corinthians 13:8 that says prophecies will cease and those kinds of things. And sometimes they're not as clear that God really wants us to just use the Scriptures, because what about all these dreams and visions and feelings and promptings and those kinds of things? Is that really what the guidance is all about? And how does the Old Testament play into any of this? Because I'm not sure in the Will of God lecture, well, I think I am pretty sure that Pastor Vyers probably didn't do much in the Old Testament. Is that right? So it was based on things like 2 Timothy 3:16 and maybe 1 Corinthians 13:8, when the perfect comes, you know, prophecies and those kinds of things will cease. And therefore we're left with the completed canon of Scripture as our guidance. But on a whole, I don't think God was ever intending visions, dreams, promptings, feelings to be our method of guidance. And when I started studying the Old Testament a little bit more, I encountered this subject called, like, wisdom, you know? And what is its deal? What is wisdom's deal? And what is it supposed to be for? Have you ever thought about that? Well, maybe, maybe not. I started thinking about that, and what is its relationship to biblical guidance? And so, As I did more studying about that, I kind of figured out that all along, God's ways of guidance was ultimately about applying His principles in a skillful way in life. And that's precisely what wisdom is all about. So, let me ask you just kind of a discussion question as we start off here. When people are seeking guidance in their life, what are they desiring to experience? Okay, no pain. They're desiring to experience no pain. They want the appropriate guidance that will steer them clear of the snowdrifts, you know, clear of the pain. What else are people wanting? They're wanting a mode of guidance that will result in peace. So no pain, peace. What else? Okay, some direction in life over there. They want security. They want to know. Okay, security, peace, no pain, anything else. When you seek guidance, what do you want? I want confirmation. What else do you want when you seek guidance? I want it clear. Fulfillment, satisfaction in life. Anything else? Like what? Like a job. I want to know which job God has for me. Yeah, we want that, but I'm not even going to be able to answer that question tonight. But I can say if you go down the path of wisdom, it will be ultimately revealed to you. You don't believe that? Fortune cookie. All right. What else do you want? I think you're missing like one big one. Because you've been all talking about things that for yourself. A big one. I mean, hopefully you want to please God, right? So in one of the things that you want to do when you get guidance is to please God, a decision or a something that is going to please the Lord. Well, let's turn that around. What are you trying to avoid? When you're trying to find a method of guidance and when you're trying to make decisions, what are you trying to avoid? Okay, making mistakes. What else? Failure. Okay. I'm trying to avoid my responsibility. I'm not sure about that one, but I'm. Proverbs might have something to say about that, being a lazy man. If I'm trying to avoid my responsibility, you see what I'm saying? So, what else are we trying to avoid? Trying to avoid chaos. Some of you have had some of me before. I'm going to talk about that term in just a little bit. Pitfalls, calamity. Okay, so decision making and the will of God in determining a spouse for you. When I choose a spouse, I want to choose a spouse that will bring me, in some ways, I don't want calamity from my spouse. I don't want to choose the contentious woman where I'll have to be dwelling on the rooftop. You know, I don't want to choose that. I want to choose something that will please God, someone that will please God in my choice. I want to choose somebody that's going to be, you know, that is going to make life happy, blessed, peaceful. And I know those things are good to want. It's not bad to want those things. So as I have a method of guidance, I want something that is going to result in that kind of choice for my life. And I want it to please the Lord. Now, so look at the methods of guidance there on your paper. We got scriptures, okay? And Jay Adams mentions all of these, and some people use all of these as guidance. I don't believe they're all true. Scripture is a method of guidance. Is prayer a method of guidance? Is it? Is prayer a method of guidance? Some are saying no, some are saying yes. We pray for guidance. Okay, that's different. I pray for guidance, but if I use prayer as a means of guidance, what does that usually mean that I'm thinking about prayer? Okay, my prayer, I'm praying to God, and then all of a sudden I expect God to give me an impression, a feeling, a prompting. So there's a lot of people who live by that method of guidance. And you've got to determine if that's what you believe or not. Does God give impressions? Does God give feelings and promptings in result of my intimate prayer life with God, and then all of a sudden I have a prompting, a thought in my head, and that's the answer? Is that the method of guidance? Some people think so. Advice of others could be guidance there. Circumstances, open and closed doors, guidance. My reason, my own reason, and Pastor Vyers probably harped on this a lot today. Harp, it sounds like so negative term, doesn't it? He instructed on this today, feelings of peace, as if I feel at peace, then that is possibly confirmation of God's will. And some people choose that as guidance. Now, why does the issue of guidance tend to be such a controversial issue? What would you say? It is subjective, personal experience, but other personal experiences are not so, you know, controversial. But why is guidance so controversial? When we just say, if Pastor Vyers exposits scriptures and says there is no feelings of peace that guide you, or there is no impressions that guide you, and you say, yes, there are, why is this such a controversial issue? What would you say? Okay, because it casts in doubt possibly some of my own thinking of what God's voice was. Okay, possibly. What else? Why is this so controversial many times? Maybe we're looking for a mysticism with God. Maybe our own personal connection, and we have personal connections with God, but my own direct pipeline to God, and you can't take that from me in regard to, you know, don't take away my promptings or my thoughts or my feelings of my guidance from God. It's a very, very personal thing. So I'm not trying to step on toes with this or anything like that, but it does tend to be a controversial issue. But tonight I want to show us that all along the concept of biblical wisdom was God's method of guidance as a norm. Okay?